Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Spiritual assumes this. It's not about what's going on physically, no, so to speak, with my hands and my mouth and my eyes and my feet. But it's a spiritual interaction and communion between my heart and His, as deep calls to deep and spirit communes with spirit.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Seek me for me, God says. So I walked miles that weekend, said, God, what about this issue in my life? I'm really struggling with a relationship problem here. What am I going to do about this person? He said, you seek me for me. I'll take care of that. Well, God, there's this ministry thing going on, and you know what's happening. It's very difficult, and I don't know how to handle this. He said, I tell you what, David, if you'll start coming into my presence and just wanting to spend time with me, I'll handle that for you. What about this? Seek me for me. What about that? Look to me. I'll handle it for you. Seek Him with persistence. There's a lot more we could say about this moment, but turn to John chapter 11. It's the next episode in Mary's life. John chapter 11. I'm doing this chronologically. In other words, this is the next time in a timeline that Mary will show up on the scene. It's a familiar story. We're not going to read the whole story, just a few verses. John chapter 11, verse 28. And speaks of Martha at the beginning of verse 28. When she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Brother, I want to preach that sermon right there. That's a sermon in itself. The teacher has come and he's calling for you. But we're not going to preach that today. Verse 29. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. That's where her brother Lazarus had been buried. Verse 32, then when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's read just a couple more verses. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And you know the rest of the story. Second thing I find in Mary's life that I think you ought to write down, it's noteworthy. She believed him exclusively. Mary had learned how to believe in Jesus exclusively. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to respond, okay? Don't think about it long. Just respond with what you feel first, right off the top of your head. Here's the statement. Jesus is all you need. Amen. I knew that would be your response. Amen. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Well, it's interesting, though, to me when I consider David, and I think about this line, Jesus is all you need, and my response is, yes, Lord. Then why is it, if I agree with that and I say amen, when the storm comes up, the first thing I do is run to something else? Everybody in here that has a relationship with Jesus Christ knows in your heart of hearts He is all you need. You know that. I know that. Then why is it when it's a medical issue, I go to the doctor first? Why is it when I've got an emotional problem, I go to my wife? If I know He's all I need, then why do I turn to anything else for an answer? Because there's a big difference in my head knowing He's all I need and in my life walking that out and living it every day. What I'm talking about with this moment right here is faith issue. What is your faith exclusively focused on? Everybody in here has faith. The issue is not whether you have faith or not. Is what are you focusing your faith on is the issue. Because what you put your faith on, child of God, is what you are looking to for help and assistance in your moment of need. What you are putting your faith focus on, that is what you are looking to for your help and your assistance in the moment of your need. When you look to anything else, you are placing your faith on that thing as the source of your answers. There's a lot of verses in the Word about faith. That which is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Hey, our part of this Christian walk equation is the faith part. God has given you a measure of faith, a gift of faith. This is the most, maybe one of the most important things I say for the whole sermon. Listen to me. Your job is to take the faith, the gift of faith that God's put in you, and to turn it toward Jesus Christ with this mindset. You are all I need. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are my wisdom. You are my patience. You are my joy. If I can't get it from you, I'm going down. I've got to have you or I'm going to be busted. I need Jesus. And Mary had figured that out. Now listen, let me show you why I think that. You got to use your sanctified imagination with me. Martha and Jesus are having a meeting outside of town, some dirt road. He showed up and she got there. Mary is where? Where is she in this time? Come on, we just read it. Where is Mary positioned? She's at the house. Who else is at the house? Talks about all the Jews. This is family members, friends. I'm sure there's religious leaders that are there to try to be a comfort and a help in the family. You know what's going on in the kitchen? There's every dish of chicken you can imagine. There's about 20 dozen fried chicken just all over the counter. 45 versions of chicken spaghetti. Hey. Lazarus has died. You know what we do. Well, they're brokenhearted. Send them chicken. Amen. It helps me. A lot of good things are going on in the house, right? Can you picture Mary, though? I see her sitting on the end of the couch, loving people around her, but she's got a faraway look in her eyes. Because as much as those that are there are a comfort to her on a physical level, she's not looking to them to fix the problem that she's got. She's glad for them to be in the room. It's a blessing to her that the pastor came by. She appreciates the prayers of the faithful. But honey, that's not enough for Mary. She's looking for another kind of answer. And he ain't showed up yet, and I think she's got a longing, long ways look off in her eye. Martha slipped into the room. She didn't make a scene. She just walked over to where Mary was and said, "The teacher's here. He's looking for you." I can see it, boy. She got up. She didn't say a word to nobody, but she was getting some yonder, amen. You know what that means? You know where yonder is? Way over there, hon. She cut a trail. She was getting from where she was in that moment of need to where the answer was. Hey, just coming up and down the dirt road was her answer. And she was going to find Jesus. She'd been waiting on him this whole time. She knew he was going to eventually get there. All she needed was a little crack in the door. He's just down the road, honey. Well, that's where I'm about to be. And Mary went to what she knew was the answer to her problem. Why? Because she had faith on him exclusively. Hey, all the other stuff was wonderful and helpful. It wasn't the answer to her issue. We've got to learn how to put faith on him exclusively. Correctly placed faith will open the floodgates of grace into your life. How do you get the grace, which is the answer to whatever problem you have? The answer, the help for your problem is grace. How do you get it? Put your faith on Jesus exclusively, and God will open up the floodgates of grace for whatever your problem is. One more thing. Turn to the next chapter. One more moment in time that Mary shows up in the Gospels. In the first instance, we learn that she's seeking him with persistence. We just spoke about her believing in him exclusively. Now in John chapter 12, I want you to perhaps write this down. Mary had learned to worship him with abandon. Worship him with abandon. Let's read a few verses right there at the top of John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Here she comes. Now watch her. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. One of the disciples, Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why is this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. And he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have always, but me you will not have always." Mary had learned to worship him with abandon. Let me make a few comments right here and then I'll close this up. I fear that as a worship leader with these guys, we get a chance to go into various churches on a regular basis, different sizes, shapes, colors, denominations. Hey, you open the door, we're coming. And here's what I'm beginning to see, whether it's on television or YouTube or live and in person, more and more and more, the modern day church has reduced worship to a congregational ritual that takes place 20 minutes before the sermon and is based on, watch, preference. Now, I could just jump on a soapbox right here, but I just want to give you some information about worship for a few minutes because Mary had figured it out. Worship is not what we do 20 minutes before the preacher gets up on the platform. Worship can definitely be done in that moment, and it should be done in that moment. But when we reduce worship to 4 songs before the sermon, and we complain about whether or not we enjoyed worship because it wasn't the way we like it. I love the one guy, he comes up to the worship leader and he says, "Well, I didn't enjoy worship today." And the worship leader said, "That's fine, we weren't worshiping you." And I've wanted to say that a few times, and the Holy Spirit helps me. Worship is not about what pleases me. It's not even about what goes on inside these 4 walls a couple of times a week. We've lost sight of the truth what this is about. Jesus said, "Our Heavenly Father is spirit, and those who worship him will do it in spirit and in truth." Worship is not an activity, although you can be active when you worship. It's not an action, although you can take place in an action when you worship. Worship is a lifestyle that comes from a heart that is intensely chasing after Christ. It's a lifestyle. It's not what you do at any given moment. Watch this. It's not what you do. Worship is what you are. You are a worshiper. Now, here's one of our favorite verses. My brother's wearing the shirt right there. And these blue shirts that says, "What is worship?" That's this part of the sermon right there wrapped up in a shirt. But that verse in Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal there for you, brothers, therefore, that you would, by the mercies of God, present your bodies," what? "As a living sacrifice." I appeal to you. I ask you, would you present your bodies, brothers, as a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now let's back up and look at that for just a moment. Because Mary's figured something out here. She didn't come in singing "Blessed be the name of the Lord" with her hands raised and her eyes closed. Tim didn't follow her in strumming a guitar. It wasn't about there was no song being played, right? Was she worshiping him? On the highest level, yes. Worship, guys, listen to me now, is born and it flows from a life that is a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that has been killed on the altar. This is a living sacrifice. That's almost, what's that word when two things don't go together? Jumbo shrimp. What am I talking about? Oxymoron. I didn't write it down. That's why I couldn't remember it. Jumbo shrimp's one of them, right? Amen. Living sacrifice. On a certain level is an oxymoron. Because sacrifice assumes it's been killed. Living assumes it's not. Here's the only way that works. When you take the rest of the verse and it says this is your spiritual act of worship. Spiritual assumes this. It's not about what's going on physically, no, so to speak, with my hands and my mouth and my eyes and my feet. But it's a spiritual interaction and communion between my heart and His as deep calls to deep and spirit communes with spirit and I'm pouring my life out every day. Listen to this. You ever thought about this? We don't have one instance in the gospel where Jesus Christ acted out in worship the way we regularly define it in 2019. Maybe in one place it says that the Lord's Supper right there in the upper room, they stood and sang a hymn. Maybe you can apply that one right there. I don't know. But we don't have any regularly defined concept of worship in His life. Does that mean that Jesus never worshiped? Because He didn't come into the church house and sing Blessed Assurance? Did Jesus worship His Heavenly Father? When? When He was breathing, He was a worshipful expression to Him. When He was walking, it was pleasing God. When He was talking, it was a pleasure to His Heavenly Father. When He was working on His behalf, interacting, preaching, moving, sleeping. I believe when He laid His head down in that boat, when the storm was raging and He went to sleep, God was going, I'm so proud of Him. That pleases me. He can love me so much and trust in me so much, He can go to sleep in the middle of the storm. That's a moment of worship to Heavenly Father, and He was taking a nap. The point is this, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song. Because a song in itself is not what you have required. You look much deeper within. You're looking into my heart. Mary had learned to worship Him with abandon. She did something in that moment with that oil and with that jar that made no sense to anyone but Jesus. He made a strange statement, and He didn't explain Himself to them in that moment. He said, she's doing this for my day of burial. Mary understood what His own disciples never figured out. That His days were coming to an end when Calvary would take place and a borrowed tomb would be necessary. She was on such a level with Jesus Christ because I believe she had figured out the one thing, church, that she could come to Him at a place in a moment that not even His disciples were able to get to Him for. She honored Him and she gloried over Him with a concept that they did not even have. She broke a perfume over Him that anointed His very body for the burial, for the reason that He had come. How in the world would she be aware of such a thing? Because she was in tune with Him on a spiritual level that those other guys hadn't figured out yet. She had figured out the one thing. She had figured it out. She didn't see anybody else in the room. She offered Him a worship moment that cost her greatly. I believe with all my heart that if your worship doesn't cost you something, it's not real. What are you talking about, David? I'm talking about rich people. Jesus watched them come into the temple with their offering. You remember this? And He said that they gave out of abundance, right? That means they had much, and they gave some of their much, and when they left, they felt good about what they had done. Then a widow woman comes in, destitute, broken, nobody to take care of her, nobody to provide for her. She had two copper coins in her hand. She dropped them in the bucket, and everybody would have laughed and scoffed. Jesus said, she's the only one that gave out of her heart. She gave, watch this, out of her poverty. What does that mean? Out of great need, she sacrificed. It cost her to give. She left having worshiped with her giving. They left feeling better about themselves. Worship ought to cost us. When's the last time you gave something? And once you gave it, you weren't sure. But God, if you don't resupply that, we're going to be in trouble. Let me say that again. When is the last time you gave of yourself to someone as the Lord directed you in such a way that if God did not resupply what you gave, it was going to put a hardship on you and your family? When's the last time you worshiped Him like that? Are we talking about giving or worship? Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. She didn't care who was in the room. She only saw Christ. She gave in a way that it cost her. And finally, she gave it all. How do you know that? Because she broke it and poured it out. She could take none back with her. Why is it important that we worship Him that way? Because that's how He gave Himself to us. Broken and spilled out. Let me close. Let me close. I could just keep on going. Let me close. Started this thing off with one verse. Taylor, I want you to put this back on the screen, Luke 10:42. Turn it to number 42. Can you do that? Here's what Jesus said. Speaking to Martha, speaking about Mary, He said this. One thing is needed. One thing. Now, David, that's wonderful, but you've given us three things, right? Anybody else kind of confused about the flow of this here sermon? Well, let me just get around to the, let me tie this thing up for us, all right, amen? I believe you can examine this and you can see three different things. She's seeking him with persistence, believing in Him exclusively, worshiping Him with abandon. The reason she could do all those three things is because she figured out the one thing. So let me show you the one thing. In fact, I already have. I've already shown you. But let me make it clear and obvious. I want to read to you three verses, one from each of these moments of her life. And I want you to see if you can spot it. Luke 10:39 says this. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard His word. Now go to John. Don't turn there. Listen. Just write it down. John 11:32. John 11:32. Then, when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw Him. She fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Then, John 12:3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. Three verses, one from each moment. What did Mary figure out? What do all three verses have in common? All three moments of her life, she's at the feet of Jesus. In Luke, she rushes to His feet. In John chapter 11, she rushes to His feet. In John chapter 12, she bows at His feet. She lived her life at the feet of Jesus. You can only hang on to every word from His mouth if you're sitting at His feet. You can only look to Him for every answer if you're sitting at His feet. You can only offer a life full of worship if you're bowed at His feet. If I had not been here today and Mary had preached this sermon, and I could have said, Mary, what's the one thing? I believe she would have answered something like this. Location, location, location. Where are you located? We have a saying in our ministry. It goes like this. Jesus first, Jesus only, Jesus always. Everything we do, we hope and pray to surround it and center it on that concept. Jesus first, Jesus only, Jesus always. Jesus first, we seek Him with persistence. Jesus only, we believe in Him exclusively. Jesus always, we worship Him with abandon. Live at the feet of Jesus. Stand with me. The guys are going to, I'm making a mess. The guys are going to come back up here. And Tim, I want you to play the Heart of Worship. Try that. Thank you, Kelly. So just for a few moments, in a moment of response, I pray that you've been challenged to look at your location. Where am I living my life? You can be centered in some really good places. Places that look religious, even look Christianly. That's even a word. But I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time serving God in what looked like very good things, dry as a bone on the inside. Why? Because I was Martha, serving, 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 and I was not Mary, positioned in the right place. You can serve and serve and serve from the feet of Jesus and it not wear you out on the inside, but you can do it from a heart full and continuously being refilled. If your location is correct. This may be your church body. Your church body here at Nesbitt needs you serving from a location positioned at the feet of Jesus. You may be leaving here today going back to where God has you planted and serving. Go back with this in your heart and mind today. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. So that I may seek Him with persistence, believe in Him exclusively, worship Him with abandon. Pastor's going to be up here to meet with you if you need a moment of prayer. We're going to sing a few minutes. Hey, if you need to just get in this altar time, if you need to just sit down where you are, spend some time with Him. I had to do it on that porch swing looking over the Little Missouri River. I had to repent. I had to repent before my Lord. He had not moved, I had. Let's get it straight with Him today, hey? Can we do that?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.